Okay, good evening, everyone. It's good to see you all here. It is a privilege to come and to preach God's Word to you. And this is not the first time for me to be at the Lafayette Church Building. Back in 2002, I was here in the States. I had previously been on an RP mission team with Ken and also Daniel Ferris. And there was a reunion that fall. And so I visited Ken and Daniel, stayed in the dorm with Ken, also stayed with Grandma Long as well, so that was nice, again, that hospitality. And then on the Sunday we came here to worship with you guys, that was a blessing. Well, let's come to God's Word, and I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, where you have the insert in the bulletin. This is a familiar passage to you. The parable of the prodigal son. So let's listen to God's word. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had, took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. And his father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed a fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Amen. May God bless us the reading of his word. Well, I want you to imagine the president coming to Lafayette. Now, who would you expect him to spend time with? Well, probably the local politicians, the city mayor, the other council members, maybe some of the leading figures of the city. That might be the businessman, or the charity workers, the teachers, or the doctors, people who have helped to benefit the city in some way. But instead of visiting these people, he instead visits the drunks at night. The young people who are engaged in antisocial behavior, the long-term unemployed on benefits. He spends time with these people. Well, you would be outraged. You might think they don't deserve his time or attention. What have they done for the good of society? Well, this is how the Pharisees felt about Christ. This is the context to these three parables in Luke chapter 15 of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son or the prodigal son. The Pharisees and scribes are angry. They grumble about Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners. They said that this man receives sinners and eats with them. And what they said is true. Christ ignores all the codes of behavior, all the protocols, and he spends time with sinners, the rejects of society, the poor, the insignificant, those who were hated. But that was why Jesus came to earth. His mission was to seek and to save that what was lost. And this parable of the lost son helps us to see that everyone is lost. So I want you to notice that you are the lost son who either goes to the far country or yearns for the far country. But when you come to the Father, you become a son who is found. So let's firstly notice you are the lost son. This parable has three main characters: the younger son, the older son, and the father. The father is the hero of the story. He welcomes home his son, the sinner, and eats with him by providing this feast. And so the father represents Jesus. He is at the heart of the parable, in the same way that he is at the heart of the parable of the lost sheep, as the shepherd, at the heart of the parable of the lost coin, as the woman. He is the one who comes to find the lost son. Well, who is the lost son? Who is the prodigal? Is it the younger son? Is it the older son? And we see it's both sons. The younger son represents the tax collectors and sinners. The elder son represents the Pharisees and the scribes. This parable was going to hit hard as it included everyone that Jesus was talking to. Not only does it include Jesus' audience back then, it also includes you this evening. This parable includes you. Glenn Scrivener says, "The world divides into two camps, sinners and slaves. The sinner loves freedom. The slave loves respect. The sinner opts out of the system to discover themselves. The slave opts in to prove themselves. The sinner breaks the rules, while the slave likes to make the rules." So which lost son are you like? Are you like the younger brother, the sinner, or are you like the older brother, the slave? So you are the lost son. Well, secondly, consider, do you yearn for the far country? The younger son felt restricted. He wanted to be his own man. He wanted to be free to make his own decisions, to make his own and free from all the rules. And so the bright lights of the city looked appealing rather than the routine of the hard work of the farm. And so he goes to his father and he said, "Give me my share of the estate, my share of the inheritance that is coming to me." Now, the younger brother, the younger son, can expect an inheritance. You don't get an inheritance until the person has died. And so what the son asked for is deeply offensive. He wanted his father dead so that he would get the money. And this helps us see just how terrible the younger son is. And we are like him. And maybe you're thinking, well, that's a bit extreme. I don't identify with the younger son. I would never ask for that. But consider your response to God. Are you happy to take all that he gives you, but are not interested in a relationship with him? God, I want you to bless me, but I don't want you. The difference with the younger brother is that he is bold enough to say it out loud. Older brothers wouldn't say it, but they would think it. And so the father divides the property, his livelihood, not just to the younger son, but also to the older son too. The older son takes the inheritance from his father also. Yes, he didn't ask for it, but he gets it nonetheless. And his relationship with his father is not much better. Both sons use their father. One spends his inheritance in the far country. The other keeps his inheritance and builds his reputation out in the field. And since we are either one or the other, we also use God. We take his blessings and we run off to the far country. Or we take his blessings and we try to build a reputation to make ourselves worthy. The younger son goes to the far country, and we read that he squandered the money his father had given him in wild living. He had lots of fun. He would have friends. He would be at the center of attention. Everyone would like him. He would be like the child in the playground with a bag of candy. It's not long before all the children are around asking for candy. And the candy runs out. So do the children. They run back to their games and leave that child all alone. That's what happened to the younger son. His money was gone. It was all spent. He ends up broke. Everything he hoped he would get in the far country is gone. He ends up starving in a pigsty. And so the far country is only a dream. The far country is like a colorful, glossy brochure you might find at the travel agent. Maybe when you're picking a vacation, you visit the travel agents and you see a variety of brochures of white sandy beaches, blue skies, beautiful swimming pools, luxurious hotel rooms. But when you get to your destination, it looks nothing like the brochure. The weather is dreary, the beaches are crowded, the pool is green, and the hotel room is dirty. The reality is the pigsty. All your hopes are dashed when you come to the far country. You will not find freedom or satisfaction. Jesus' listeners, these tax collectors, these social outcasts could relate. They are the younger sons who left their families, they left their homes in search of happiness. They wanted to be satisfied. It didn't matter how they achieved it. They traveled to the far country, but they discovered that it was nothing. They found it to be empty. And so they've come to Jesus for hope. The older son doesn't go to the far country, but he yearns for the far country. That is where his heart is. And that's revealed later in the parable when he speaks to his father. He mentions how the younger son has wasted his money on prostitutes. Now, we're not told if there are prostitutes in the far country, but the older son assumes there were. He might not be bold enough to physically go to the far country, but he has gone there in his mind, imagining the sinful delights that can be had there. How about you? Do you yearn for the far country, wanting freedom to go your own way? The far country promises so much, but in the end, it's a pigsty. Well, thirdly, notice, do you come to yourself, or do you come to the Father? The youngest son is desperate. And to make things worse, the whole country is in need, as there's a famine in the land. And so we have this pitiful situation of this young Jewish man living in a Gentile country with no one to look out for him. He's working on a pig farm and is so hungry that he considers even eating the food
that the pigs were eating. He left his family. He had left his country to gain freedom. And here he is in absolute poverty. The younger brother in the parable would have made these Pharisees shudder. He would have been seen as the worst type of sinner in Jewish eyes. Think about what he had done. He had wished his father dead to gain the inheritance. He had lived a sinful lifestyle in this faraway country. And to top it all off, this Jew was willing to work for a Gentile. But not only that, he worked with pigs, seen as unclean by the Jews. The Pharisees would have no sympathy for this prodigal son. He deserved to be in need. After all, he had brought it upon himself. It was his choice. He made his bed, and so he must lie on it. And that was the opinion they had of these tax collectors and sinners. And they showed them no compassion. In their eyes, they were beyond grace. The sinner sitting among those pigs had a lot of time to think. And he thinks about his home and how he had so much and how he had foolishly thrown it all away. Now he had nothing. So he comes up with this plan that he will go home and he will ask for a job. And we read he comes to his senses. Now is that the turning point in this parable? Often it's taught this way. But this parable of the lost son sits alongside the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. The sheep, after getting lost, doesn't make its own way back to the sheepfold, nor does the coin, after being lost, fall back into the purse. It doesn't make sense that this third story of getting lost would be different. No, for when the lost son comes to his senses, he's really coming to himself. That's why the New King James Version helpfully translates it that way. He came to himself. He turned to his own ability to save himself. He's not actually turning to his Father or to God, but to himself. Yes, he apologizes. He even repents of his sin. But notice how he comes up with a plan to save himself, which demonstrates his repentance is not sincere. The Bible does make it clear that not all repentance is genuine. Paul said to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death." And there are examples of this in the Bible. Pharaoh apologized in this way after the plague of locusts in Exodus 10, verse 16. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore, please forgive my sin only this once and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only." But his repentance didn't stick. And so God sent further plagues. King Saul, in 1 Samuel 15, verse 24, "Then Saul said to Samuel, 'I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord.' But Samuel said to Saul, 'I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel.'" Again, his repentance was not genuine. In desperate situations, it can cause people to think. And that is helpful, but only if it brings people beyond themselves to God. There was a funny meme at the beginning of the coronavirus outbreak, and it goes like this. "Pray for the hundreds of people doomsday prepping at Costco and still eating the little food sample sitting out for everyone to touch." I don't want to undermine the seriousness of the coronavirus, but in a similar way, our attempts to protect ourselves are often flawed.
We think that we have come up with a perfect solution, but it's no different than the youngest son. The youngest son's plan is to return to his father, but relate to him not as a son, but as a slave. He goes to return and exchange his life in the far country for life in the field. He thinks his older brother has it all worked out. But that's not what the father wants. No, the real turning point of this passage is the description of the father in verse 20. In compassion, the father sees his son from afar off. He'd been looking out for him, and he runs to him. Something middle-aged men from that culture would not normally do. He hitches up his robes and looks ridiculous to make his way quickly to his son. But he didn't care, because he had found his son. He hugs and kisses his son, who stunk of pigs, who wore old dirty clothes, for his son, who was dead in his eyes, is now alive. And he cuts his son off when the son tries to buy his way back in. He will not have his son in these terms. Now, the father who brings the son home, and he asks for the best robe to be brought. He owns the best robe in the house. Well, it's the father, of course. And so he dresses him in his own clothes. He puts a ring on his finger, a sign that he is part of the family. These rings had a family crest on them. They were used to seal a letter that would signify that it came from this particular family. He puts sandals on his feet. He would not be like a servant and would be barefooted. No, he is part of the family. He's a son, and so he would wear sandals. Well, have you come to Jesus? He opens his arms to you. He clothes you in his robe of righteousness. He gives you a ring and sandals to show that you are part of God's family. Do not come to yourself, but in Christ you have hope because of his great compassion. Well, fourthly, would you rather be a slave or a son? The father orders that the fatted calf be killed. This was a celebration, not only for the father and the son, but the whole village will celebrate as this calf would feed hundreds. But there is one person not celebrating, and that's the older son. He is enraged. He will not join the party. This younger son had brought shame on his father. But the older son, by not joining in, was also bringing shame upon his father. He stayed outside the home. And so the father bears the shame and goes out to meet with the older son. He pleads with him. He begs him to come in. He wanted him to be part of the party. And so and celebrate that his younger brother has now returned. Well, you might be thinking, well, why beg him into the party? He'll only spoil the mood. But the father wants him in. In the same way, Jesus seeks those who are slaves to their rules, to their performance, to know freedom, and to be part of his kingdom. The older son will not come in. He's angry that his dad is showing this lavish grace to his younger brother, when his father did not even give him a goat for his friends. He expected a reward for his obedience, but he had forgotten that everything that he has is from the Father. He has already got his share of the inheritance. He does not get payment for being a son. Instead, it is all his. He has got all the goats that he wants. He would rather be a good slave than a beloved son. And so he's lost. He's separated from the father. He worked like a slave to earn his father's favor, forgetting his position as a father's son. He said he never disobeyed. He's convinced of his own goodness. He won't join the party. He is too good, even for his own father. He is morally superior.
He won't celebrate this wicked brother returning. Instead, he hates his brother for receiving this kindness. The Pharisees are like the older brother. They are the ones who have worked hard for God. They have been obedient. They have slaved away. They sought to earn God's mercy. And so this parable was a slap to the face to the Pharisees. It was not about earning God's favor. Well, does that resemble you? Is that your type of Christianity? Do you find it hard to celebrate when others come to trust in Christ? Do you think of yourself as superior to others because you worked hard for many years to earn God's favor? Is your view of Jesus as a slave master or as a loving father? Fifthly, the father calls you his son, his child. The father in the story is not some determined taskmaster demanding his slaves to work harder to earn their keep. No, we see a generosity with the father. He provides a gracious feast for his lost son. He welcomes the sinner home. He will not deal with his son on the basis of what he has done, whether it's good or bad. And so you must forget your sins in the pigsty, or forget your obedience in the field, and come to the Father. Come to Christ. The story seems to end with a cliffhanger. How will the older brother respond? But we know how the older brother responds. Remember, the older brother represents the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. We know exactly what the older brother does in the end. He kills his father for the love he showed to his brother, the sinner. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law hated Jesus so much that they were determined to kill him, and so demanded his crucifixion. That is where the slavery of self-righteousness will take you. It forces you to hate Jesus and the grace that he shows you. But it would be through the cross of Jesus that older brothers would be welcomed home in the same way as prodigals. Jesus would take off his robe of righteousness and dress you in it. You would give him your rags of sin, which he took on himself. And so it became sin for us. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, "For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Christ didn't just sacrifice a fatted calf. He sacrificed himself. He didn't just come out of the house to plead with sinners. In humility, he came down from heaven and dwelt among us to find you. So in this parable, we see the sinner being welcomed home to the feast, while the slave remains outside, grumbling. And it's a picture of what was happening right there and then with Jesus. The tax collectors and the sinners are eating with Jesus, while the Pharisees and the scribes are at the side, grumbling. Well, how do you respond to Jesus' compassion in finding you? I remember an incident back in Belfast when we were out grocery shopping. We came across a lost child in tears, wanting their mummy. My wife took the child to customer service, and the security guard asked a few questions, and we expected him to announce over the PA that a missing child has been found. But he wouldn't do that. There would be too big a risk that someone other than the child's parent would come. Instead, he waited, and he wisely waited for a searching mother to come and find her missing child. And so you are that lost child, recognizing that there is nothing that you can do to win Jesus' favor. Instead, Jesus, in his compassion, he finds you. Are you the sinner lost in the far country, searching for a good time? Or are you the slave lost in the field, working hard to earn approval? Or are you a child of God who once was lost but now is found in the arms of Jesus? Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for the blessing of your word and for this challenge. We come to you this evening as lost sons. We come asking for forgiveness when we have gone to the far country, whether it's physically or mentally. Lord, we come asking for forgiveness when we think we have our own plans to win your approval, to earn your respect. Instead, Lord, help us to see who we are, that we are in the pigsty, but you in your compassion, you have found us. And so, Lord, we thank you for how you have removed those sinful, dirty clothes and how you have clothed us in your righteousness. We thank you, Lord, for how you've sacrificed yourself so we can feast, we can be at home and be called your son, your child. We thank you that we were once lost, but now are found. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks.